I'd love you just to have a think about what is the most important day in your life so far? What was the most important day in your life so far? Now, some might say it was the day you were born, because without that, you wouldn't be here. That's obviously an important day. I would suggest that there was also a day probably about 9 months before that was significant, because without that, you also wouldn't be here. Talk to your parents if you don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe it was the day you got your first job, or you made your first bit of money. Maybe it was the day that you got married. Maybe it was the day that you bought the first house that you own. What's the most important day in your life so far? Maybe for you, if you've decided to follow Jesus, your most important day was the day that you said yes to Jesus. I know for me, I was about 7 years old when I made my first decision to follow Jesus, and then I was 8 years old when I got baptized. And I obviously look back on those days with great fondness. I don't have an awful lot of memory of that time, only to know that as a seven-year-old, I just had enough knowledge to go, yeah, there's something to this Jesus thing. If you're here today and you're exploring faith, maybe you're not sure about this whole Christian thing, this whole God thing. That's probably not going to be your day, because you haven't got that there. But as a church and as Christians, Easter Sunday is the most important day in the Christian calendar. There's a lot of days that are important. Who enjoys Christmas? Not many of you. Who enjoys Christmas presents? There we go. We might get some cans for that one. Christmas is really important, obviously. There are many other days across the year that are really important to Christianity. But Easter Sunday is the most important day. If the story of Easter Sunday is true, it makes a huge difference. If the story of Easter Sunday isn't true, we're wasting our time. That's the degree of importance that actually rests on Easter Sunday being true. We're working through a series, and for those of you that are visiting us today, you've come right in at the very, very end of our series. We've been working through our new vision as a church, where we believe God is calling us over the next 10 years. Yeah, you kind of get to be a fly on the wall today and hear a little bit about who we are and who we believe God's called us to be. We're coming out of a season of the last 18 months that has been difficult, that has been challenging. But we believe as a church that God has given us a picture of the church that he sees us being over the next 5 to 10 years. And this is our vision story. We want to couch it in a story, because we recognize this is more than something you stick up on a wall. This is not just a bumper sticker. This will shape everything that we do as a church moving forward. And this is our vision story. So for those of you visiting, you get to catch up with us right now. Between now and 2030, we will advance the kingdom of God by engaging people throughout the Shire of Murray, the broader Peel region, and to the ends of the earth, encouraging them to encounter God in transformative ways and equipping them to be sent as devoted followers of Jesus. We took some time over the last sort of 6 or 7 weeks to break this down into 3 sections, into a section looking at engage. How are we going to engage the world around us? What has God called us to do in the engage space? And then we broke it down to encounter. How do we help people encounter God through transformative relationships and transformative environments? And then finally, we moved on to equip. And we looked at what does it mean to be equipped for everyday faith? And what does it mean to have equipped for everyday life, to actually live out life? So why are we talking about this on Easter Sunday? This is why. Easter Sunday frames it all. What we do today, what we celebrate today at Easter, is at the very base of all that we do and believe as a church. See, as a church, we encourage each other to engage people beyond us, because while we were still far from God, he came. Jesus came in the flesh to engage us. He came to be amongst us, to be one of us, and to give his life for us. So as followers of Jesus, and this is particularly for those of you that have said, yes, you know, I want to follow Jesus. We give our lives through acts of engagement every day, helping other people just see a little snippet of who God is. Why do we encourage people to encounter God? It might sound a little bit silly, but no, there are some realities to this. Through the Easter story, God made a way for us to be transformed by encountering him. That it's because of Easter, it's because of Good Friday and Easter Sunday, that we can actually be changed, that God gave his life as a sacrifice for us. And then he didn't stay in the grave. He triumphantly rose again, that we too may have life. So we encourage people to encounter God, to be changed by him, to live the life that he desired for them. And then finally, we encourage people to be equipped, because Jesus didn't just come and live and die and rise again. That would have been enough. Now, that actually would have been enough for Jesus to come and live and die and rise again. But he chose to invest many years leading up to his public ministry, and in 3 years, working closely side by side with other people. And then he said to them, go and do likewise. Go and make disciples. So this is the heart of who we are as a church. This is what we believe God has called us to do. We're starting from a lower base than we'd like to. It's been rough. There's pain, there's hurt, there's emotions in our church which are real, and we have to acknowledge them. For those of you who are visiting again, you may not know much of that, but it has been a challenging 18 months for us. But this is the heart of the message that God has for us. He's at the heart of it all. So if that's the case, if Easter is the reason for all that we do and believe, and this is the case for those of you who may not actually call this church home, the rest of this message should be very pertinent for you where you're at. If Easter is the reason that we do and believe everything that we do and believe, can we trust the Easter story? If we're saying it's that important, that it's right there, it's the most important thing, can we trust it? Now, we live in a world today that's full of fake news and conspiracy theories, and there's a lot of uncertainty in the world about what is true and what isn't true, and you've got your truth and I've got my truth, and then, you know, everyone else has their truth. Can we trust the Easter story? Was Jesus even really real? A survey was done in 2015 in England. There are other surveys that have sort of similar results that found 22% of adults in England not just don't believe in Christianity, don't actually believe Jesus was even a real person. Now, 22%, one in five people who filled out this survey, don't just disagree with the Christian faith, would actually say that Jesus is a complete fabrication, that nothing about the story of Jesus is even true. Many today, this is a growing trend. It's not just to deny Christianity, but to even deny the existence of a real historical person. So I want to take some time today and look at some of the evidence and look at some of the things that can act as a backdrop for us. For those of you who might call yourself followers of Jesus, I hope this is an encouragement for you that you actually stand on something really solid, that you actually stand on something that, compared to much of the other history that we believe took place in the past, Christianity and our beliefs and what we teach happened is really, really well attested to. If you're exploring faith, if you're not sure about, is this whole Christianity thing, maybe you are one of those people who's not sure that Jesus really existed, then my encouragement is that as we go through today, I hope that what we look at might just help challenge some of those questions that you have. We're going to start off in Luke 24. We're going to do a mix of looking at some passages and just looking at some other bits and pieces. But I'd love for you to join me in Luke 24, verse 1 to 8. Now, this is the story of Easter Sunday. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wandering about, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of those women just for a moment. That those women are coming along, they're not expecting to find a risen Jesus. They might remember later that Jesus said that, but they're actually in grief. And they come to this tomb and they see the stone has rolled away. Their first thought is not, "Yay, Jesus is risen! Woohoo!" Their first thought is, "Who has stolen his body?" Is it not enough that they've just killed him? Who has stolen his body? And then they have this amazing story of angels appearing before them. And cries of, "This story was faked." This is what a lot of people will suggest. A lot of people will suggest that this story was fabricated and it was written down in such a way so that it could actually convey it what they really wanted to have happened, but it didn't really happen. But there's one really significant issue with that part of the story, that the idea that this story was faked, the idea that this is what would be written by people trying to write a story about a fake resurrection, is a significant problem, which isn't politically correct anymore, and that's okay, because it isn't okay. But back in those days, women's word held zero anything. It didn't matter at all. That in a court of law, that in any sort of place, a woman's testimony meant absolutely nothing. For this to get put in the Bible as being evidence for Jesus rising from the dead, you wouldn't put this there if you actually wanted it to hold credence in the way that things were done at the time. You would have made this one of Jesus' disciples. Maybe Peter or John came along and they saw Jesus and they saw him right there and then. If you're going to fake this story, you don't have women finding Jesus. Because right away, that actually will put some people off. Oh, well, that's just women saying that. Unfortunately, that was the culture at the time. You don't fake a story and have women as the chief people in it. So what is the other evidence for Jesus? Is there actually evidence that the story of Easter is true? One of the best bits of evidence that we have for the story of Easter actually being true is Paul's letters. So if you don't know much of the Bible, Paul has written many, many letters. Most of the second half of the Bible, which is the New Testament, much of that was written by Paul, who was an early follower of Jesus. He actually wrote Galatians. They believe Galatians was written first. There's a couple of other potential letters that may have been written. And that was written around 49 AD. So within about 20 years of Jesus' death. Within about 20 years of Jesus' death, the letter of Galatians was written. One of the things that's often said of the New Testament was, it was written hundreds of years later. No, the earliest manuscripts we have for the book of Galatians is around about 20 years afterwards. And already by then, there is a significant correlation in terms of what we believe today and what the book of Galatians teaches within 20 years of Jesus' death. The Gospels, which is where we get most of what we know about Jesus, again, the thing that's laid to them is they were written hundreds of years later. No. The book of Mark is generally held to be the earliest of the Gospels. That was written about 65 to 75 AD. So 30 or 40, 45 years later, after Jesus' death, we get the Gospel of Mark, which of course has a lot of similarities to Matthew and to Luke. John's quite different, but the Gospel of John is quite different to the others. We also have some external sources So fairly early on, Jewish and Roman historians had absolutely no reason to talk about fake news. They had absolutely no reason to share anything about a person that didn't exist. There was just no benefit to it whatsoever. And yet early on, we had a guy called Flavius Josephus. There's a great fun name to try and memorize. Flavius Josephus. He references James, the brother of Jesus, the so-called Christ. So obviously he doesn't believe Jesus was actually the Christ. He doesn't actually believe the story of Jesus, but he certainly believes that Jesus was real. And he attests to that in 93 AD. Then we have a Roman politician, Tacitus. In about 20 years after that, so about 113 AD, he actually confirms that there was a man called Jesus that was executed by Pontius Pilate, which is exactly what the Bible says happened to Jesus. Different things that were going on. Now, here's one of the challenges that we have when it comes to thinking about Easter. And it comes to thinking about fake news and conspiracy theories and the challenges around that. We actually don't live in an age of reason. We live in an age of emotion. Your truth, my truth can be completely contradictory, but they can get along perfectly fine because it's about our emotions, how we feel, what's going on. Now, evidence is actually not as significant as it used to be. So you're not going to prove somebody into following Jesus. I wonder for you, what do you believe about Jesus? Not what do you know, not what's been proven to you. What do you feel? When you think about Jesus and what he's done in your life, what is the overwhelming sense that you have for yourself in who is the person of Jesus? I want to read another passage. This is John chapter 20. This is the passage for today's age in many ways. John 20, verse 24 to 29. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, I can see why they called him Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, put my hand in his side," because he'd had a spear put into his side, "I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, I'll just glance over the fact the doors were locked and Jesus came in. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hand. Reach out with your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Jesus wants us to have faith. He's not anti-evidence. He's not anti-having all of those things in place. If you've got doubts, he can handle your doubts. If you've got questions, he can handle your questions. He doesn't want to blind just, go with it for whatever. But blessed are those who haven't necessarily got all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed. I think one of the challenges that I have in conveying faith to people, especially in our culture today, there used to be a lot of things that were just agreed upon. There was a lot of things that you could kind of start talking with someone who may not follow Jesus, but you could at least start at this one place. And you'd kind of have some basic understandings of things. That doesn't really seem to exist anymore. So why is Easter Sunday so important? Because this is where we start. Because if the person of Jesus is real, if the story of Easter is real, if we can help people come to an understanding of the realities of the truth of the story of Easter, all the other questions, you can spend the rest of your life working those out. You can spend the rest of your life journeying with God and asking him, was it a flood? Was it not a flood? Was it a literal flood or a metaphorical flood? Is evolution true? Is evolution not true? Should we do this? Should we do that? There's a million questions that you will ask. And they matter intensely after the cross. After the cross. That's the question to wrestle with, is the story of Easter true. Because if the story of Easter is true, it should shape everything you do. If the story of Easter is true, it should shape everything you do. Because it says so much about what's real and going on in the world. And here's my little tidbit at the end. And it is. So, here's a couple of things to think about. If the Easter story is true, and Jesus was raised from the dead, he can renew and restore your own personal circumstances. I wonder what's going on for you at the moment. It's funny, we all come together on a Sunday and we all put that face on. You know that face. Yeah, that's the right. I can see some of the faces now. No. We all put that face on and we all pretend that everything's okay and we're secretly dying inside. Here's the thing. That might be what you're presenting. Jesus knows what's under the surface. And if the story of Easter is true, he can renew and restore those circumstances. He may not be able to fix everything about it. He may not make it get back to the way things were. If you've got some things that are broken, if you've got some things that have happened in your life, it's not that he'll do away with them so they're completely gone. But he can bring you life because he is risen. If the story of Easter is true, Jesus can renew and restore our church to health. Wasn't it great? I don't know if you noticed before, but before when the service, when the kids went out, we had like 20 kids go out. I think we were ready for 6 or 7 today. We had about 20 kids go out. Isn't that our dream? Isn't it our desire to get back to where we were with that? Isn't that part of the cry that we feel God birthing in our midst? That absolutely has to be a part of our story. And if the story of Easter is true, God can renew and restore our kids' ministry. God can renew and restore our youth ministry. God can renew and restore our young adults ministry. God can renew and restore our church. It's not overnight. It'll take time. But if the Easter story is true, God can do it. If the Easter story is true, God can and will renew and restore our broken world. We're about 2,000 years post-Jesus now. He's still working on it. It's not a quick thing. He's not just, you know, wrapping it all up and it's all done tomorrow. People live lifetimes and see all kinds of things going on in the world that we just don't quite get. I want to be honest with you for a moment. I actually don't understand why things aren't just zapped. You know, like the powerful zap and everything's fixed. I watch some things sometimes and I've seen some things when I've been around the world in different places and I look at them and go, God, I actually don't understand. I don't understand why things are the way they are in some places. But I come back to Easter. Because if the Easter story is true, I can actually trust God. I don't have to understand, but I can trust him. Trust that he is and will restore our broken world. So what do you believe? What do you believe about Jesus? What place does Easter play in your understanding of who he is? What questions are you wrestling with? What arguments are you having with God? You can have arguments with God. They're really fun. You don't win, but they're really fun anyway. It's good to have questions. It's good to actually wrestle with. It's good to have wonderings around it. But come back to the cross. Because it's on the cross that everything in our faith rests. If the story of Easter is true, it should shape everything that you do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this day, Lord, that you are risen indeed. We pray that as we go from this place today, later, you would just, may that phrase almost be just like a little pebble in our shoe. That we're just constantly reminded that you are risen, you're risen indeed. And that because of that truth, we can rest and trust in you, in our own circumstances, in our church's circumstances, in our world's circumstances. Lord, may the Easter story being true influence everything that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name.